Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The first fruits in Revelation 14. That's our topic today. And joining us to help with this fellowship, Ron Kangas. Ron, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for asking me to participate with you in this particular program.
Ron, this is one of those items in the overall category of what they call eschatology or end-time prophecies that can be problematic. There's a lot of talk in Christian and even non-Christian circles about the 144,000 and who this number is referring to. I hope that we can bring some clarity for our listeners today. But let's begin by reading a couple of the most important verses in chapter 14. Verse 1 says, "I saw, and behold, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads." Verse 4, "These are they who have not been defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they who follow the Lamb wherever he may go. These were purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb." Ron, as we consider these verses regarding the first fruits, we touch one of the real areas of misunderstanding in the book of Revelation. This number, 144,000, is it literal or figurative? And how about being virgins? Again, literal or symbolic?
Well, you have clearly identified the point that has elicited a lot of discussion, if not debate. And let me introduce the matter this way. We need to remember that Revelation is a book of signs. We're told that in the very beginning. The Revelation is made known by signs, that is, symbols with a spiritual significance. So when we come to chapter 14, we see such signs. The Lamb on Mount Zion, the first fruits, the harvest, etc. Because there are signs here, we need to pay close attention to the spiritual significance, not only for interpretation, but for application to our experience. However, when numbers are mentioned, we should not be quick to say, "Oh, that's merely symbolic. That can't be an actual number." Well, as will come forth in this broadcast, the 7 churches in chapters 2 and 3 were actually 7. The number 7 has a spiritual significance, but it was an actual number. Therefore, we would present this view that the 144,000, that is an actual number, but our emphasis will be on the spiritual significance. The same in principle with the virgins, that the emphasis here will be on the spiritual significance and on the principle of a virgin being that one is not defiled but is kept in purity for God's intention. So these are some of the thoughts that will be developed in a fuller way in this program.
Really helpful, Ron. I think your fellowship is going to frame the rest of the program. One thing I'd like to point out as we join Witness Lee, we saw the man-child in chapter 12, which is the fighting aspect of the overcomers. Here in chapter 14, with the first fruits, we see another aspect, something for God's satisfaction.
We did get to know in the past different teachers concerning the interpretation of this first fruit. But eventually, the Lord has shown us something more. And I have to admit, we are so fortunate that we are standing upon the shoulders of all those great teachers. how we thank the Lord and how we are grateful to all of them, because tonight I'm standing upon the shoulders. So we do have something higher. Based upon their understanding, we have now seen something more. This means what? This means we recognize that the number is literal, but there is the spiritual significance. We shouldn't just take in the literal significance, but we have to take in the spiritual significance. This means what? This means every living overcomer is a part of the completion for God's administration in the fulfillment of His economy for eternity. I hope this will get into you. You have to realize, to be a living overcomer, it is altogether something too great. It's not a small matter. Something too great to fulfill His economy for eternity. Okay, now, there has been also a big debate about the interpretation of the virginity. Because this portion of the verse says, all the 144,000 living overcomers are virgins. Some say virginity in this portion of the word is literal. Some say it is spiritual. So they were fighting. Now, what would we say? We believe the clear word. When the word says so, we also say so. But there is the principle. You see, there's the principle. The principle of what? The principle of virginity. Not to be defiled by anything on this earth. You see, not to be defiled by anything on this earth. We have to keep the principle. If we are going to be the living overcomers, we have to be kept by His grace from any kind of defilement, any kind of pollution. We are here living just like virgins.
Ron, I thought his word here in response to the great question of whether the 144,000 virgins or first fruits in chapter 14 is literal or symbolic was typically wise, because it brings us back to our acceptance of God's word. And if it says 144,000 virgins are the first fruits, then we believe it. We also saw that this reference is to those living overcomers who are alive at the time of the Lord's return. But more important, it seems to me, is that related to both the man-child in chapter 12 and the first fruits in 14, there are principles that apply to both categories. If we hope to be an overcomer, whether or not the Lord chooses to keep us alive until He comes, we have to be in the principle of both a fighting warrior and a pure virgin to satisfy Him. In principle, Ron, what is it to be a virgin to Him in this age?
Before I comment on that, let me emphasize the importance of the principles. If students of Revelation pay their sole attention to the literal significance and the prophetic fulfillment of that literal matter, they will totally miss the experience of Christ, the experience of life, the growth in life, the enjoyment of Christ as our life supply presented in Revelation. That is why we emphasize the principles. The principle of a virgin is preserving oneself from any kind of defilement that issues from improper contact or unhealthy contact with the world. So instead of focusing on, are these merely literal virgins? And if we want to be strict in being literal, they have to be males, then we're going to miss the significance of the principle. Those that are the first fruits, those who reach maturity first, those who are raptured to be presented before God with the Lamb on Mount Zion, they live according to the principle of a virgin. Because of their consecration to the Lord, their oneness with the Lord, their love for the Lord, their obedience to the Lord, their honoring of the Lord, they are exercised to be pure unto Him, to be a chaste virgin unto Him. This is what a believer should be, and this is the spiritual significance of the principle of the virgins in Revelation 14.
In this next section, Ron, we want to see the relationship between these two groups of overcomers, that is the man-child and the first fruits.
You may ask, what is the difference between the overcomers in chapter 12 and the overcomers in chapter 14? Well, in chapter 12, we have the man-child, right? And in chapter 14, we have the first fruit. And in chapter 12, the man-child is for whom? Is for Satan, to fight him down. The man-child is for fighting, to deal with the enemy. The first fruit is not for fighting. The first fruit is for the satisfaction to God and the Lamb. God needs some enjoyment. The Lamb who redeemed us also needs some enjoyment. You know, we, the living overcomers, will be the first fruit to satisfy their enjoyment. So you can see the sovereignty and the sovereign wisdom of the Lord again. Through all the centuries, so many died martyrs. So many died overcomers. I tell you, they will what? They will be the man-child. They will be the fighter. They will be in the heavens to chase away the enemy. This is one aspect, and there's another aspect under the Lord's sovereign wisdom. Some saints are still living on this earth. On the one hand, we have to fight the enemy, but you don't need to fight the enemy all the time, 24 hours. After preaching to the devil, you have to stop it. You have to say, devil, from today, I don't have the time to pray to you. I like to tell my Lord, I love Him. I like to stay with my Lord in a loving way. Satan, don't you know, you are our enemy, my Lord's enemy and my enemy. I have prayed to you. That's good enough. You got everything. Get away from here. Now I am having a good honeymoon with my Lord.
Amen.
In my honeymoon, I don't have any time to pray to you.
Amen.
You have to go away.
Amen.
Spending your time in loving the Lord. Lord, I just like to look at you. I like to look at you. I just like to talk to you. I just like to satisfy you. Oh, Lord, I like to stay in your presence. I like to be one with you. You have to learn how to spend your time in loving the Lord Jesus. In a very intimate way.
Ron, we've heard a lot in this life study of Revelation about fighting against God's enemy and how the man-child is caught up to be his fighting army to fight with him at his return. But it's clear as the first fruits, our primary responsibility is something quite different, and that is to be satisfaction to God and the Lamb in the way of love. Ron, I know that you have a lot of feeling about both of these aspects and what it means to be an overcomer.
That is correct. To be an overcomer is not to be some kind of super extraordinary believer. It is to be a normal believer. And according to the scriptures, a normal believer is one who in Christ is victorious over whatever matter he needs to conquer, especially those matters that are opposing the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. We can hearken back to Genesis 1, where we're told in verse 26, God created us in his image to express him. And he gave us his authority to exercise dominion to represent him. We see both aspects consummated in Revelation. The man-child is able to represent the Lord in warfare with the enemy, standing upon the victory of Christ and testifying of that victory to the enemy's total defeat. This solves the basic problem in the universe, the warfare issuing from Satan's rebellion. But there's something higher than that. That is, on the positive side, to fulfill and satisfy the longing in God's heart to have the reproduction of his Son, who is his image, in the many sons who are, to change the metaphor, the many grains as the reproduction of Christ as the first grain who fell into the ground and died. When we come to the first fruits mentioned in Revelation 14, there's no word about dealing with the enemy, about overcoming the enemy's attack. Rather, there's a presentation to God the Father, the unique source of life, that the Son can present to the Father, not only himself as the first fruits of those to be raised from the dead, but of his multiplication, not believers merely in the initial stage of regeneration. These are mature believers who, according to Romans 8:29, have been conformed to the image of his Son, who, according to Galatians 4:19, have Christ formed within them. These are raptured not to deal with the enemy, but to satisfy the heart's desire of our God and Father. Yes, we must aspire to be the overcomers in the principle of the man-child, to engage in the spiritual warfare, to bring in the kingdom of the heavens in its manifestation for 1,000 years. But even higher than that, we should aspire to be among the first fruits who are matured and raptured and presented to God the Father for the delight of his heart and the fulfillment of his purpose.
Ron, we're going to stay in this line. In this last section, Witness Lee is going to talk more about the characteristics of these first fruits. Let's go back to him.
Men of the Caesar, you do know how to love your husband. And you do know how the husband has to love you. Why you would stay with your husband? Why wouldn't you go home to see your parents? Why wouldn't you go to buy the things? Why you like to stay with your husband? Not because of this, nor because of that, just because you love him. I love the Lord, so I wouldn't go to do this, nor I would go to do that. I have the full liberty to do. If I go to do, that would not be wrong. Yet, I would not go to do, just because, Lord Jesus, I love you. We all have to keep our virginity. To keep our virginity. Looking to the Lord, that the Lord would allow us to be in his grace. To be kept just for him. Not to fight the battle, but to satisfy him. Not to be the man-child, but to be the first fruit. Not to be a fighter, but to be an earlier, ripening one. Lord, for your satisfaction, I sure like to ripe mature. I don't care for my rapture. I care for your satisfaction, Lord. I like to go there to satisfy you. As long as I can satisfy you, whether I be here on the earth or I be there in the heavens, it makes no difference. This is the attitude of the living overcomers. This is why here it doesn't say the first fruit will be caught up. It doesn't say this way. It only says, Maya, the first fruit, they are standing there on Mount Zion in heavens. Someday, if you are the real, the true living overcomers, someday when you will be raptured there, it makes no difference to you. You don't have much surprising feeling. You know why? Because you are in his presence already. It makes no difference whether you are here in his presence, you are there in his presence. It's about the same. You will just be standing there. If when you get there, you'll be surprised, you'll be the wrong person to get there. All the right ones who will be raptured there will have no surprising feeling. Oh, Lord Jesus, for so many years, I've been all the time with you. All the time. Lord, I love you. If you have been away from your husband for 55 years, then you see him, you got to be crazy. Oh, so good. But I tell you, if you have been all the time with him in love, every hour, every minute, could you have a time that you would be so crazy? Now, I'm so glad that I'm with you. Silly. Are we really loving the Lord? Are we now in a kind of intimate fellowship with him? To be kept in him as a virgin? If we are, when the rapture time comes, it is just coming to us. It will not surprise us at all.
Wonderful, wonderful word, Ron. A couple of things really struck me here. First, if we are really in the principle of the first fruits, then our heart has to be focused not on being raptured, but on him as the unique, supreme object of our love and affection. And second, if we really will be those who by the Lord's mercy remain alive until he comes, and we plan to meet him on Mount Zion, then we surely have to be those who know what it is to be in his presence. In other words, as he said, it won't be a surprise to us that we are there meeting him as his first fruits, will it?
It will not be a surprise to those who live and walk in the inward presence of the Lord as the Spirit with their spirit. This is how they live inwardly in all manner of situations. We're actually not told how they were redeemed from the earth and now are on Mount Zion. In other words, the process of rapture, the experience of rapture, is not the focus here. Sadly, many believers focus on rapture as a thing with very little, if any, connection with the person that we're longing to see. I'm thinking of the last chapter of Song of Songs, where the mature seeker, the Shulamite, the reproduction of Solomon typifying Christ, longs to be raptured, to be released from the flesh of the old creation. And she says, when I see you in this state, I will kiss you. Her focus is on the person. And this is our focus. And this is the focus of this ministry and of this message and of this chapter. It's not on rapture as a thing. It's on the first fruits having been brought to the heavens to satisfy the one whom they love, the one whom they adore and worship. They're focused on a person. They are with the Lamb. We're told in that chapter they followed the Lamb wherever he went through their whole life.
Thank you very much, Ron, for today's sharing.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining us today. And for Ron Kangas, I'm Chris Wilde.